Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation 12, verse 17. This is a continuation of what we started last week, dealing with the remnant of the seed of the woman. Verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And those two go together, and we're going to see that as we move through this, all right? But number one, it says they keep the commandments of God. What we did last week, we just went through the Old Testament and got some wisdom about all the places where God said, keep the commandments, keep my commandments, keep them. If you love me, keep them. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And God said the same thing, although he commanded them to love him. It's hard to do that. When somebody makes you love somebody, it's just hard to do that. It's a free will thing that comes out of the heart. But anyway, he gave them those commandments, and he said, this is a covenant. I'm going to give it to you. The laws are good. The laws are good. If you'll keep them and do them, then I'll bless you and give you the land. I'll give you life. They didn't do that in the Old Testament, okay? And, you know, the New Testament is full of all the various reasons why Israel transgressed the covenant of God. It wasn't mingled with faith. Their heart was heart, and things like that. Even though they agreed, God will vouch, you can be our God. And God says, okay, you'll be my people. But then all of that went bad when they broke the covenant. And then Christ died, and he abolished the terms of that covenant. But the law and the commandments that God said, even Paul said in Romans 7, They're still good. In fact, let me read this just so we'll get it right and we'll get the accuracy of the Word of God in the presentation. And Romans 7, he's talking about his dual nature in him. And I have it and you have it. Don't let anybody tell you don't have it. Oh, you're born again. You're not ever supposed to sin. I'm going to cover that today, okay? So he says, let's go to Romans 7:10. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. He says, let's see here. I'm going to move on down. Verse 18, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I can't even find what he talks about when he breaks the law, he consents that the law is good. Yeah, verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. And here's Paul, and he's being honest. He's not being one of these big religious people going, we're the holy men of God, we don't do anything wrong, you poor sinners. He wasn't that. He was saying, I get it. God gave me a wicked flesh just like he did everybody else, and this flesh was not born of God, it was born of man, it was born of Adam, and it's wicked, it's made of dirt, it's sinful. And Paul said, I have the law on the inward part of me, and I want to do what's right. My flesh refuses to play along. And he said, every time my flesh does something wrong, I consent that the law is good. Did Paul then keep the commandments? I'm going to show you that he did, and everyone that is born of God does. So let's get into the Word, all right? The New Testament. We saw this back here. God said, I want you to love me and I want you to keep my commandments. Now Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I'm going to show you that along with the 10 back here, we have two new ones. And they're the ones that Jesus was sent down from heaven with. See, remember, Moses came down from heaven with the Ten Commandments. Jesus also came down from heaven with two. God's offering a new contract, a new and a better way, he says in Hebrews. All right? So he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, my commandments. And I'm going to show you the difference in just a few minutes from the scripture. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Remember, back in Revelation 12, they not only keep the commandments of God, but they also keep what? The testimony of Jesus Christ. They go together. I'll show you how. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So just sounds like what God was saying in the old covenant. He sent it by way of a mediator, Moses. Now the new mediator is Jesus Christ. And he's saying almost identically the same thing. John 15, 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There it is, right there. John 15, 10. Get your Bible out, underline that, and know this verse. Because I'm going to tell you who's going to come after you. The Hebrew roots people are going to come after you, the sacred name people, the Seventh-day Adventists, and every other off-branch of these cults are going to come after you saying, you don't keep the Sabbath day, you go to church on Sunday, that you're going to hell. Read the law. The law never said go to church on Saturday. Never said it. It's not there. You don't keep Torah? You eat pork? You do this? You do that? You're not going to heaven. I'm telling you, watch out for these people. They don't understand the new covenant. You know what they do? They call it the renewed covenant. You know what they're saying? That God dug up the old contract from Mount Sinai, dusted it off, and said, this is what you have to do in order to go to heaven. That's why they don't call it a new covenant. They call it the renewed covenant. They changed the words. And they dusted off the old contract from Mount Sinai, and they said, here, you sign this. You have to do what we tell you to do. You're not going to heaven. Now watch this. Jesus said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. We will then be in Christ. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments. What does that mean? We know biblically that Jesus kept the law. He was the only one that did. The only one. They were his Father's commandments. He was of Israel. He was born under the law. And he came to fulfill the law by keeping the law when everybody else in Israel failed to keep the law. He was the one Israelite that kept the law. Isn't that beautiful? So here's what he says. As I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, you keep my commandments and you'll abide in my love. Isn't it beautiful? He says, that's John 15, 10. He says, what's that? The same chapter. John 15, where he's talking about, I'm the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and my words abide in him, the same bring forth much fruit. Now, I'm going to read to you, where is that? Verse 10? Verse 12 is, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Isn't it beautiful? And see, that's one of the new commandments that he came down from heaven with. He came down to fulfill the law of Moses, and he did so perfectly. So that law, the condemnation of that law, has been abolished. Now he comes down as the mediator, just like Moses did. He comes down and he offers a new deal, a new contract. Jeremiah 31 is what God promised. Okay? And just as Moses had to come down twice, so Jesus is going to come again so that all things can be fulfilled. Man, I love this. Now watch this. He says, "If you John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So we have the 10 back here. We have the 2 right here. I'm going to show you what this means in a little bit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if you have a struggle with sin, just read the writing." Okay? It'll help you. I promise you it'll help you. God is there to help you, not destroy you. He's there on your side. He is for you. All right? "And if any man sin, we have an advocate." Advocate is a legal term. That's our defense attorney. "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Those of you who are in a union, you have an advocate with the union. You have an advocate with the company that you work for. People in various, you know, the police department. If a cop is being accused of something, he has an advocate on his side that is there to protect him. And just in case he didn't do it, he's there to protect him. "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And so if you are in sin and you don't follow Christ, you are outside of Christ, and God can condemn you as a sinner. But if you are in Christ, because you are part of the vine and you keep his words and you keep his commandments, you are in Christ. And when he looks upon you, he sees Christ, and he cannot condemn you, because Christ has taken you into him. And you're not condemned. So anyway, "and he is," this is 1 John 2:2, "he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him." And see, that's the difference. The law was to Israel. The new commandments, they're for the whole world. All right? "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word," you're going to abide by the contract, "in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." See how it said it? Remember Noah? How did the ark save Noah? Was Noah hanging on the outside for dear life? Ah, waves coming, ah! No. What did Noah do? God told him to get in the ark. God saved Noah and his family and all the animals, both the clean and the unclean. There's another thing right there. The unclean animals, according to Acts chapter 10, represent the Gentiles. Okay? The clean animals represent Israel. How did the clean animals get saved, and how did the unclean animals get saved? Same way, by the ark. Anyway, "we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. And he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." See, it has to do with hatred and love, doesn't it? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight." What are those commandments? Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. Verse 23, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." He that keepeth, see, the terms of the contract of the new covenant is believe. That's the terms, believe. And the commandments are we love one another and we love God. Verse 24, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Watch this now. Here is the two commandments that Jesus gave. Remember, back here we had 10. Here we have 2. And I'm going to show you that the two new commandments are not exclusive of the 10 old commandments. Because John back here said, I write unto you no new commandment, but it's the old commandment. And God had already said back here in Deuteronomy 6, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your soul and with all your might. God had already said that back here. So John said it's an old commandment, but it's a new commandment. So watch this. Matthew 22:37. I promised you last week, you're going to see a picture of this, because God draws pictures all through the Bible. If there's a doctrine, God draws a picture of it. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we can stop right here. If you go down the line of the Ten Commandments, number one, have no other gods before me. Number two, make unto thee any graven images. Number three, take the Lord's name in vain. Number four, honor the Sabbath to keep it holy, or remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. That's a transition commandment. And now number six, don't commit adultery. Seven, thou shalt not steal. Eight, thou shalt not kill. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness. Number ten, thou shalt not covet. I may not have got the order right. But it's interesting that 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 have to do with loving the Lord your God. And number five is honor your father and mother, and you have a new father and a new mother now. Okay? God is your father, and Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all, Paul said. And then 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 have little to do with God, to have everything to do with your neighbor. You shouldn't commit adultery with your neighbor or your neighbor's wife. You should not kill your neighbor. You should not steal from your neighbor. You should not lie to your neighbor. Bear false witness against thy neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's manservant, his maidservant, his ox or ass or anything that is thy neighbor's. So right here, I mean, we take the Ten Commandments now, and we can see clearly that they are divided into two categories. Five on one side, five on the other. These have to do with God, loving God. And if you love God, there won't be another God. There won't be one. If you love God, you'll worship Him in spirit and truth, and you won't bow to an idol. If you love God, you won't take His name in vain. If you love God, you'll remember His Sabbath and keep it holy. I believe in working 6 days and resting one day. I believe in that. I sure do. I think it's good when you do it. Okay? Does it always happen that I do it that way? No. I have to say no. But I absolutely believe in working 6 days and resting one. I sure do. Then we get into, you know, don't commit adultery. Duh, okay? Don't steal, don't kill, don't lie, don't covet. Here's the thing. I can keep a lot of these without fail. When it comes to like number 10, ask me not to covet my neighbor's house. You ever done a little drive through these nice subdivisions? Oh, honey, look at that house. Oh, man. See, it gets us right then and there. And I won't go beyond that, but I'm just telling you, it's just, that's my flesh. My flesh craves, it lusts, it covets, it does everything in the world. It's vile. So it had to be saved, okay? And now we have two new commandments, okay, that are actually part of the old. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. And he said in verse 40, now, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. God, what does that mean? God, what does that mean? And I don't understand that. God, is there a picture? I was trying to think of something that hangs or something that, you know, like I was looking for a picture of it in the scriptures. And the guy sent me an email and I went, there it is right there. There's the picture. I'm going to show it to you. All right. Not now. We're going to get there. Mark chapter 12, verse 29. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, Deuteronomy 6. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Boy, Jesus knew how to make them shut up, didn't he? All right. So he said, these are the two right here. We have 10 back here. We have two here. And John basically spoke of that in 1 John. That's what he was getting at. So now, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If ye keep, John 15:10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There it is. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now we have the two that Christ gave us, and they are the centerpiece of the New Testament, but then we have all these other ways of doctrine and living that were given to us by the apostles, New Testament commandments. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now, where is all my papers here? Oh, here we go. Don't want to lose this one, okay? Watch this now. So we have the 10 old commandments. We have the 2 new commandments. How many does that make? 12. Think of how many tribes there were. 12. How many apostles were there? 12. It's the number for God's covenant, his promise. That first shows up in Genesis 12. God made a covenant with Abram. So I'm going to bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And out of these shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He's speaking of Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of God's covenant. That number is number 12, all right? So we have 10 in the old, 2 in the new. And I'm going to show you a picture of what it looks like when Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Are you ready? Exodus. Take your Bibles. Turn to Exodus. I've got some notes in my tablet called The Law versus Grace. And I started a new set of notes. This is the page of it called The Law plus Grace. They're not adversaries to one another. They are complementary to one another. But let me show you this, okay? Let me show you the law versus grace. I'm going to show you the difference, okay? This is my left hand. I have a hard time eating with my left hand. I have a hard time lifting things with my left hand. My left hand is, I cannot write with my left hand. I can't do it, okay? I don't know how you do it. Okay? This is my right hand. That's so comfortable. Okay? I can write like that all day long. This is my right hand. Now, I need both my hands. I need both of them. This cannot do what this can do. Did you get that? My left hand cannot do what this right hand can do. It is weak, but this one is strong. See the difference? They're both my hands. They're both part of my body. Think of that terminology in the scriptures. But one is weak and the other is not. Think of a marriage. In a marriage, you have one who is weak and one who is strong. Usually the man is strong, the woman's weak, but there are issues, are there not? In a marriage, a good marriage, where the husband is weak and the wife is strong. But see, this is here to help this. If I'm eating beans, I'm going to eat beans with my right hand, but I got me a big old thing of buttered cornbread in this hand, scooping them up. There ain't nothing better than beans and ham and cornbread. And it takes two hands to do that. This helps this. See how it works? If I'm working tools, I'm going to hold the nail. If I'm nailing up some drywall, I'm going to hold the nail with this hand and hit it with that hand. Okay? Not the other way around. And this hand here, I train it when I'm hanging a lot of drywall. It's been a long time, but I train this hand to just pull one nail up and have the other nail ready by the time I'm ready to hammer. Hammer this one, pull the other nail up. I knew a guy that he'd go into his house that he was hanging drywall in, and he would never stop hammering. Three. That's how fast he could put nails in. His hands were helping each other, but one of them was weak. There was things that this hand could not do that this hand had to do. Think of your Bible. They're both part of the Bible, both of them. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant, it's all there. This is the left hand, and it is on the left hand, isn't it? But it's weak. The law was weak, and it cannot save. So watch it. I want to show you the doctrine now of how all the law hangs on these two new commandments. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Exodus chapter 17. Watch this. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. The rod is Christ. Okay? The rod is Christ. He's the rod, the stem of Jesse. All right? He's the rod that budded. All right? So, verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. If you already know this story, just hang on to it. Watch this now. Look at your Bible. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now, why would Moses let his hand down? It can only last so long. I had a teacher in high school, junior high school. If you did an offense worthy of a detention after school, 30-minute detention, if he's the one that got you for detention, you had an option. If you could go right after school into his classroom and take two books and hold them out at arm's length for 10 minutes, you could get out of detention early. There was many a student that tried it. None made it. Because even right now, I'm running out of strength. And eventually, they fail. The law is so good, isn't it? The law is so good. And I try to keep and do God's law every day. And for a while, I can. But not forever. Because I get weak. And I just can't hold up. And Moses would hold his hand up for a while. And he would get tired. He'd hold this one up for a while. And he would get tired. And all the time that his hands were down, the Amalekites would prevail against it. You know who the Amalekites are? They are the enemies. They are sin. They are the devil and his horde that's conquering us. All the while the law is lifted up, we prevail. But we get weak. And we can't hold our hands up anymore. And when that happens, they prevail, don't they? There's a remedy. And I love this. So in verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. Can you imagine? By the way, when Moses, he said his hands, plural, so both of them. I have a number here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And what did God write them on? Paper? Cardboard? Stone. And they were heavy. You can carry heavy burdens for a little while. But then, I can't do it anymore. God, I'm a failure. God, I can't do what you said. I want to obey you. God, I want to hold these books out forever. God, I can't do it. So then, Jesus, the strong and mighty one, says, I got a remedy. While my hands are out here, put nails in them and fasten them to that wood. I just love it. But here's the remedy. Watch this. Verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron, man number one, and Hur, man number two, stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Did you see that? Here we have the ten, and they're heavy, and we can't hold them up. So we have the two now that on which are hanging all of the commandments. And Amalek, and watch this now. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And you know, in typology language, a man is either going to be Christ or the Antichrist. So think of who Amalek is. Okay? I'm going to put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. But see right here, with Aaron and Hur holding up the hands of Moses, literally, all of the law now is hanging on these two, Aaron and Hur, who represent the new commandments of Christ. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, all your strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That is so beautiful. There's actually other pictures of this where the Old Testament is a companion to the New Testament and not mutually exclusive, not adversarial to one another. In, what is it, the book of... I think it's the book of Joshua. I can't remember. I should have wrote the text down. Well, let me put it like this. In James chapter 2, you have faith. But it's dead without what? Works. The Old Testament is works. The New Testament is faith. And the New Testament without... You show me your faith without your Old Testament, and I'll show you my New Testament belief by my Old Testament. I will show you my faith by my works. Faith and works, Old, New Testament and Old Testament, they work together. This is weak, though, so you cannot just keep the law. You will fail. So you have faith and trust in the one who did keep the law. See how simple that is? So we have faith and works. We have Moses. He's the Old Testament. He kills two of the kings of Canaan land, Og and who was the other? Sihon, the king of Bashan. Okay, he kills two of them. Moses did. Then it goes on to tell you that Joshua, when he took over, he killed 31 of them. 31 plus 2 is 33. It's Jesus, isn't it? So here the Joshua represents Christ, the New Testament, because watch this. Moses brought them out of Canaan, but he can't bring them into the promised land, can he? Because of disobedience. Joshua has to bring them into Canaan. But the two of them worked together. Moses first, then Joshua. And the law, what does it do for us? It drives us to the cross, doesn't it? And then Jesus takes us the rest of the way. Boy, I love this. They don't work separate from one another. They work together. So anyway, Moses killed two kings. Joshua killed 31. That's 33 together. All right? So think of this. Okay, we have the 12 spies going into the land, don't we? They come back. 10 of them said, they represent Moses and the law. 10 of them said, we can't go in there. Okay, we cannot go in there. Two of them, which Numbers 14 says, Caleb had a different spirit on him than the rest of them. Two of them came back and said, oh yes, we can. We can go in there. Now, does only Joshua and Caleb get to go in the promised land? Was there only two people that marched across Jordan? No. What happened? Those who were following the ten, they died in the wilderness, and the generation that came in underneath them, it's almost like a new generation of these people are the ones who can go in. Does that make sense? In other words, my flesh cannot go to heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So what happens is my carcass has to rot in the wilderness, and the generation that comes out of me, a new body, that's what can go into heaven. I know this might be a little hard to understand. I'm trying to explain it as best I can. This is kind of new stuff with me, but I like it. Let's see here. What else? Watch this. The flesh is ruled by the Ten Commandments. So the ten spies say you cannot go. And then after 40 years, the old die off and a new generation goes in. New generation goes in with Joshua and Caleb. Those two spies, Joshua and Caleb, represent the two new commandments so that now all can go in, but they have to be born again. Think of the two sticks of Ezekiel. One stick represents the 10 northern tribes of Israel. The other stick represents Judah, but Benjamin was always with Judah. You know what God said he was going to do? He was going to join them together as if they were one stick. The 10 is going to be joined with the 2. And now that's going to be the new kingdom, and David is going to rule over them. Not David of the Old Testament, David of the New Testament, the son of David, Jesus Christ. Think of DNA. DNA is not DNA when it's only one strand. It is separate as RNA. When it comes together by way of the four base pairs, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine, they're joined together, and you have the four gospels joining the old covenant and the new covenant together. Jesus was the fulfillment of that. He comes to bring the law and connect it with grace to make one new man. Now, And then he said in Ezekiel 37, you go read this. Once he joined the Israel stick, which is 10 tribes, with the Judah stick, which is 2 tribes, he promised to make a covenant of peace with them. Remember what the number 12 represents. It represents it's the number for the covenant. It represents God's promise, which is fulfilled in heavenly Jerusalem, where there's 12 foundation stones and 12 gates, and it's a city built 4 square, and it's got 144,000 of this and all that stuff. But the 12s are all over it, all right? Let's see, what else did I leave out of here? There's probably more there. I'm still studying this idea. But I have it in my mind that exactly what Paul said in Romans, that the law is not mutually exclusive to grace. When you have grace in your life and God's true spirit in your life, he puts it in your heart to do these things, not because you have to. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. We do them. Why? Because I love my Father. That's why I do these things. That's why Jesus did them, right? Jesus did it because he loved his Father. And when you get a new spirit in you, you find yourself wanting to please your Father and doing for him. Not because, well, if I fail, if I sin once, I'm going to be condemned by God. That fear should have been taken away from you because you're in Christ. And now you have the spirit of his Son crying, Abba, Father, in you, and you want to do these things because you love God and you love your Father. So, again, and I still have the idea, the Old Testament is not quite the same as the New Testament, because the Old Testament was weak, the New Testament strong. Old Testament deals with the flesh, New Testament deals with spirit. Old Testament gives an earthly promised land, New Testament gives a heavenly promised land. You see all the differences there, and I may teach on that one of these days. But as far as these people in Revelation 12, they keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's not one or the other. It's both of them. And I can see that with Moses and his hands and Aaron and Hur hanging the commandments. They're holding them up. What holds up the commandments of God? Grace. Beautiful. Beautiful picture. I hope I didn't confuse you too much. Study these things. Study these doctrines from the Scripture and get wisdom from them. All right? If that was too deep for you, it's okay to just look at the Bible, read it, say, God, I don't really understand this. I don't quite understand what Hoggy was getting at, but I believe your book. Amen? God bless you. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.